Hello, everyone. Glad that you're all viewing in on this. We're in our second week of filming this and had a great response last week and hope the Lord continues to use these videos. It's all in His hands, however He wants to. We're missing everybody. Once again, we're without our musicians this week. They're still in quarantine. They are all getting healthier and better. And so we tried something different this week. While they were at home, they recorded their music, and Mitzi's going to try and sing with their music here in just a moment. Next Sunday is Easter, and I'm really watching the weather. If we have a beautiful day, we are going to have a service here. It will be outside in the parking lot for all of our church members and family members. I will be getting with you towards the end of the week. We'll probably wait till Friday or Saturday to make a final decision if we're going to meet here for church. But if we do, we will set up outside in the grass or in the parking lot. I encourage you to bring your lawn chairs, or you can stay in your vehicles or whatever need be. But we will set up outside if the weather permits. Praying that you all are safe, and remember, if you need anything, I'm a phone call away, and let's pray. Father, we're thankful to be here today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen those that are hurting, those that are sick. Father, that you would watch over all of us, Lord, that your protecting hand would be upon us. And I pray, Lord, that as we are about to begin to sing and worship, and Lord, as we begin to study your word this morning, that our hearts and our minds would be drawn unto you, and just how awesome and how powerful and how wonderful you are. Lord, be with us now. May your Holy Spirit guide us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Jesus, oh Jesus. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart, 'cause you're the one that guides my
Still trying to get used to it being pretty much empty here, and it's kind of weird to be preaching to empty sanctuary. But with the Lord's help, I'm going to do my best. Okay, what I want to talk to you all about today is compassion. I left work. I think it was Thursday, and there was policemen on the road directing traffic. There was four or five police, and there was cars backed up as far as you could see. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Well, the food bank was where I was going by. And so I texted Mitzi because I figured she would know since she works for the United Way, and apparently, Tyson had donated a bunch of chicken, and so that was all people trying to get food because they needed help. And it was really just a amazing sight to see that many people in need. And I've been thinking about compassion for several weeks, and the type of compassion that we need to have. The type of compassion that our Father has. Isaiah 49:13 says, "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into songs, you mountains, for the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. I don't know where you're at today, what you're going through. We've been very blessed in our area of the world. The virus has not hit Mansfield, Fort Smith region very bad yet. The cases are on the rise, but we're praying that it doesn't come here like it has other areas. And so for some of you this morning, you might be saying, shout for joy. How can I shout for joy? But here it says, God will have compassion on the afflicted one. So that means God's going to have compassion upon you today, on His afflicted one. Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Any of you that's had kids, you know when your kids are sick, when your kids are hurting, and how as a mom or a dad, how you want to take away their pain, you want to take away their hurt, you want to comfort them in whatever way you can. And when you think about that, that's the way our Heavenly Father is looking down on us. And I do want to note that it says on those who fear Him. I don't want to jump off on chasing that rabbit trail, but I would encourage you, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and we need to understand the reverence and awe that we should have of God today. And to have that understanding that we have a Father that has compassion on us, we are His children, and that He loves us. Psalms 116:5 says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. So where I really want to get today, though, is that so we being children of God, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, God calls us Christ ambassadors, then we should have the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And we understand now by these scriptures that we just read that God is compassionate to us. And so are we compassionate to those around us? You know, it's really easy right now in this time to be so focused upon ourselves and what we're facing, what we're going through, the crisis in our life. But Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that's the way that we should be clothing ourselves with that compassion. That we're God's chosen people. And so it's so easy to close off the world and to just talk about how this crisis is affecting us. You want to talk to somebody, and what's their favorite topic? Me, myself, and I. And everybody wants to let you know how it's affecting them, how it's affecting their family, how it's affecting their friends, how it's affecting their job. And we can get caught up in that and telling everybody about what it's doing to me, what it's doing to my life. But I want to encourage you this morning to have compassion and look to the needs of others and not just about yourself, not just how this all is affecting me, how this is all hurting me. We should get outside of our needs and our wants and start looking around at those that are hurting. I was talking to my cousins through text last night, checking on them that live in Chicago and Michigan, and just to see how it was there. And I made the comment about my job, and one of them said something about, well, you know, you should be thankful that you still have a job. And I said, oh, I am. I'm very thankful I still have a job. And all the people that are hurting and all the people that they're wondering what's going to happen with their house payment, with groceries, with whatever. And we really need to get past ourselves and be clothed with that compassion that the Bible talks about here. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and have that compassion for the world that's around us. If we are Christ's ambassadors, then what? Jesus is our example in all of this. And one of my favorite stories, and if you're at home, if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, And this is one of my favorite stories, and it just, to me, it shows the love that Jesus has and the compassion that Jesus has. I want to, we're going to be in Matthew 14, verse 13, but I kind of want to set this up a little bit. So John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod. And so, this has just taken place, and then we're going to pick up here in Matthew 14, verse 13. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So, Jesus has heard that John the Baptist has died, and what did he want to do? He wanted to withdraw. He wanted to get alone. I'm sure he was wanting to get alone to pray and talk to his Heavenly Father. And maybe at this moment right now, as you're about to watch this video, maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you want to withdraw. Maybe you want to get away and just leave this world behind and all the cares and all the worries. Maybe right now you're hurting. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you have a loved one that's sick right now and you're so fearful. Jesus here, he was withdrawing. Because someone that he loved very much had just died. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. He wasn't going to get alone. He wasn't going to get away from the crowds. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm hurting, sometimes when I'm just grouchy, what do I want to do? I want to be left alone. I don't want to be bothered, and I want to get away. And then the phone rings, or someone knocks on the door, or someone's there. And then all at once, what do you want to do? You don't want to answer the phone. You don't want to answer the door. You don't want to help. Do people not see what I'm going through? Do they not see what's going on in my life? I'm hurting. The crowds were following. Verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus is our example today of how we should be living our lives, is not be so caught up in what's wrong and what's going on in our life, but have compassion on those around us that are sick, that are hurting, that need us at these moments. Jesus healed the sick and he took time to be with these people. Then as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." You know, when I read this and I think, okay, I've talked to someone, I've counseled with someone, I've prayed with someone, I've done my part. I've done enough. And that's what his disciples were saying. Jesus, you've done enough. You're hurting right now. You prayed for them. You've healed their sick. Let them go. It's time for you. It's time for some me time. Verse 16, Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes," they answered. Can I tell you something? That's many of us right now. We're saying, "Lord, I don't have anything to give." Maybe you're thinking that financially. I can't go buy somebody groceries. I can't go to the store and wait for a person that I see in need and just shell out money. I don't have the means myself. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Maybe you're saying, "I'm hurting. I've got loved ones that are sick. I've got people that I'm praying for. I don't have time. Just send them away, Lord." But I believe the Lord's speaking to you and me right now in this moment that you need to give them something to eat, that you need to be willing to help. They said, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes," they answered. Maybe you're saying, "Lord, what can I share? I'm not knowledgeable on the Bible. I'm not a theologian. I'm not even very good at praying, Lord. And what do I have to share?" Can I tell you something? When you're willing to walk in obedience with the Lord, when you're willing to give of yourself, then you just walk in obedience and you leave the rest up to God. If God says give, give. If God says pray, pray. If God says help, help. And then we leave the results up to Him. Verse 18, "Bring them here to me." He's talking about the loaves and the fishes. He said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Different Sermon is probably in our archives. If you want our website, you can contact us and I'll give it to you. But I want you to think about, when did the increase come? It was when Jesus gave thanks. You know, sometimes I and that's another sermon for another time, but sometimes I think in areas of our life where we feel like we're lacking, where we feel like we don't have enough to give, when was the last time you just gave thanks for what you had? Jesus gave thanks for the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and then the increase came. Another sermon, another time, but I encourage you to give thanks for where you're at right now. Jesus, though, he was hurting. He withdrew. But he didn't let his own pain of losing John the Baptist get in the way of the work of the ministry, of what the Father had planned for him to do. And I want to encourage you today to not let this coronavirus get in the way of what God's trying to do. Not let losing your job get in the way of what God's trying to do. Not let a sick family member or loved one to get in the way of what God's trying to do in your life. Be willing to give. Be willing to not be focused upon solely upon yourself, but have compassion for those around you. We're going back to Matthew 9, verse 35 now. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field." Y'all, if you've been watching the news, if you've been watching what's going on, what are the people? They look harassed. They look helpless. They look like sheep. Without a shepherd, they look lost. But we're children of God. And we should not be lost. And what we have, we should be giving to those around us. We should have that compassion that Jesus had for the crowds. And he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Y'all, there's people that are living in fear. There's people that are scared. Why? Because they have no hope. They have no hope. They think this life is it. They think that this is what it's all about. But this life isn't it. There's heaven awaiting those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we sharing that hope with the lost world around us? Are we sharing what the Lord has given to us? Hebrews 10, 23 and 24 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Are we holding on to the hope that we confess? Are we holding on to that with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength? And this isn't a hope that's like abstract, like, "Oh, I hope I get this," or "I hope I get that new Christmas present," or that fishing pole, or "I hope I..." But this is a hope of confidence, the confidence that we have through the Word of God, through what Jesus Christ has testified, that this isn't it. That heaven awaits those who are children of the Most High, of Jesus Christ. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Are you overflowing with hope today? Are you scared? Are you overflowing with joy? Are you full of fear? You know, for many, they're full of fear today. For many, they're feeling lost and hopeless. The last verses here that I want to share with you is 1 Peter 3:14-15. And it says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." We're not to fear like everybody else fears. We're not to be frightened because we're different, right? Verse 15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We are ambassadors of Christ. And here it says that we're not to fear like everybody else. We're not to act like everyone else. And that people should be looking at our lives and asking, "Why are you so different? Why are you not shaken to your core? What is this hope that you have?" The hope we have is Jesus. So I encourage you this week. I told you last week, pray for wisdom, pray for guidance. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you on how to help and who to minister to and what to do. But I encourage you to make room in your heart for some compassion. Make room in your heart for God to be able to work and for you to share the hope that you have. You know, if we're acting like anybody else, nobody's going to ask you, "What's the reason for this hope?" Because you act just like they do. But when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, when we put Jesus first in our life, we're going to have a hope. There's going to be something different about us that nobody else has. Because we know that this isn't it. We know that the Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also." And so I want to encourage you this week to seek the Lord, as I do every week. Don't live in fear. And ask God to give you that hope that only He can give you. That confidence that only He can give you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray for each one of us, and myself included, Lord. May I not look at this time as a break from work, a time to sit at home and do nothing. But Lord, may I look at it as an opportunity to show, Lord, the love that You've bestowed upon me, that I might bestow love upon my neighbors, upon those that I see at the store, those that I work with, Lord, wherever I go, that Your Holy Spirit may guide and direct me, that I may be overflowing with hope, and that I may look around and have the compassion that You had, Lord. Even when my heart's heavy, even when I'm hurting, Lord, that I might not be so drawn up in self, that I would look for opportunities wherever You lead to show Your love, to show Your kindness, to show Your compassion. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.